and welcome back to another podcast episode of 100 Games in a Funeral.
Welcome back, listener.
Dad's not feeling good, so I was really trying to compensate on the energy. That's as much as I could give.
That was good. I feel a little better having heard all that energy.
Did that raise your spirits?
Yeah, I think I'm actually good to go. I'm going to go out into the community now.
Start spread the seed.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time.
And it's your fault.
I made him feel too good. Welcome back. Another episode. Thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. I'm going to mention up top the giveaway once again. We have a giveaway planned in this episode, next episode, and then the episode after that. So I don't know how to describe this. Two more episodes and then the giveaway.
That confused me. This episode.
So we got Mass Effect 2, Paradroid, spoiler, next week's game, Pokemon Red and Blue. That's the episode we're doing a giveaway. We're giving away an upgraded original Game Boy. It has a brand new IPS screen, super bright and clear. The case is not brand new, but it looks pretty darn good. And a copy of Pokemon Red. Again, as a thank you to the listeners, there's only one of them, so it's a raffle more than a giveaway to everybody. But, and also as penance for not liking Pokemon as video gamers. So sorry, but the game sucks. But we are happy.
We reiterate.
If you like it, we're happy for you. And that's why we're giving this away, to make you happy, because that's what we're here for. That's what we provide. So giveaway on that episode, we'll give a secret password in the episode somewhere. Have you relay the password to us, and that's all you got to do to enter. And then we'll pick a winner. Friends and family are invited to participate. We will not doctor the results in any way. Random number draw, give it away. U.S. only.
Honesty.
Yeah, that's what we're about. So moving on, in this episode, we'll be talking about Mass Effect 2. Before we get there, any exciting events happen in the last 7 days?
Not yet. Next week we get the eclipse. I'm excited to talk about that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A solar eclipse.
Yeah, this is like the center point, I hear. I don't know if that's true or not, but I hear people are coming from all over to
Ohio. Is
Marysville, Ohio. Supposed to be the best viewing look. Seriously, I don't know how true that is, but it's supposed to be like the best viewing location in the U.S.
Well, there's definitely like a path that you can be on where the angle is the most perfect, right?
Yeah, it must be.
And it's crossing over Marysville, Ohio.
I guess so.
They better capitalize on that. They better have like banners and parades and...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would just charge people $20.
Just put up gates at the entrance to Marysville.
Yeah.
And charge them money to get into the city.
Build a nice new town hall.
They could. I've been to Marysville many times. My sister lived there. I guess my daughter's excited for that. She's asking to get some solar eclipse glasses. They're going to view it at school.
Tell her just to look straight at it. Her eyes are just are little and small. They'll heal.
He'll be fine.
Or at worst, you get like a blind seer daughter.
Yeah, that'd be like, cool too.
You can peer into the future.
Open your mind.
I shouldn't have looked at the sun.
Yeah, that would be... I don't want to do that there. That's a terrible idea. I'm not doing that.
That's fair.
We're going to find our library and get her some solar eclipse glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the play.
I've never looked through solar eclipse glasses before, and I did, and they're so... This feels odd, like a duh moment, but they're so dark. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to see the sun through them, but...
Yeah, I haven't used them, but I imagine they're pretty dark. Is the point to wear them and then stare at the solar eclipse?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I think that's why they're so... You're supposed to...
That makes more sense. You're supposed to watch the entire duration.
I posited to someone you could do like exposure therapy. You know how people like get over food allergens and so on? Just every day go outside and do a half second glimpse at the sun. The next day, a second, two.
Yeah.
So you know you're up to like 4 hours just gazing.
Build up your sun staring tolerance.
Yep.
You're on something there, Ted.
Yeah, don't tell anyone that I came up with the idea, though.
All us idiots are like, man, that sun is so bright. I wish I could stare at it longer.
Something is telling me deep in my DNA I shouldn't look at that.
I must.
But ignore that. Ignore that animalistic impulse. Overcome.
Nice. Well, I didn't know we could do 3 minutes on the solar eclipse, but that was pretty good.
Heck yeah. It's also
I didn't do a lot.
Continue. Go ahead. I apologize.
What else is it good for?
I was going to say it fits with the theme of the day. Space.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
Sun.
Space related for sure. I was just going to say I was proud of myself this week because I started and finished the same movie, which I don't normally do.
Whoa.
Yeah. I watched The King's Speech.
Oh, that's the one about he was the king during the Second World War, right? I can't remember his name right now.
Right before it kicked off. King Edward? George?
George, sounds right.
Sixth?
Yeah. Elizabeth's father.
Please correct us if we're wrong. Yeah, Elizabeth's dad had a stammer and gets it dealt with and treated. Yeah. It won Best Picture, and I just never watched it. And then, you know, doing this list, we're going back in time, visiting these other years. And I was like, let me watch a 2010 movie. That's the one I picked. And I actually watched it start to finish.
It's a good flick. I watched it with my mom a long time ago.
Yeah, it's really good. I don't, if your mom's like mine, I don't know how well she would have done during the part where he encourages him to just swear through all of the stammering.
I remember not loving it.
Not loving having your mom with you watching that?
No, just her not loving the swearing. Going, oh. You know, mom's, oh.
Yeah, a real classic, oh, goodness. Yeah, it was a good movie, though. Very, there's something about the way that the British tell the story that I feel like they give things more room to breathe and play out.
Yeah.
I enjoy. Yeah.
I think now if we're going to talk about 2010 movies.
I didn't look up the whole list, but
I know other pretty good ones. Scott Pilgrim versus the World came out.
That was one of them.
2010. I'm a big fan of that movie. I like it a lot.
I've never watched that one.
And then I remember Inception, and I remember thinking at the end, the top wobbles, and I went, who cares?
Lame. Off the screen.
I was so bored. I was like, all right, can we wrap it up? It's in like 19 dreams deep, something, who cares? And then it's like, are they still in the dream? I'm like,
that one didn't do it for you, huh?
No, I don't know why. I know everyone, it's not a bad movie. It's obviously like the practical effects are very cool, all that kind of thing.
It was cool.
But just the ending in particular, I was like,
Yeah, that's always a bit of a cop-out when it's like a, what do you think, kind of ending.
It's also the year of, let me look, Toy Story 3, I believe.
Yeah, top worldwide box office grosser.
Yeah, that's the one with the awful scene where they're all falling to their doom and they grasp hands.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
It's a rough scene, man.
Also related to our Mass Effect 2.
I remember sitting in my room alone watching it. I was like, it's all right, kids movie. And that scene comes. I'm like, oh my God.
Just weeping.
They're all just,
Mom.
They're just embracing death. It's crazy.
Yeah, there were some good movies. Shutter Island's on there also. Well, that's about it.
You know, you would think Shutter Island would make me do the same thing Inception did, but it didn't. I still don't know if he was. I'm pretty sure that he was a patient at the hospital, but
mental patient. Yeah,
yeah, but I also, you know, sometimes I wonder, is it true? I mean, he asked the same question, right? In the end, who cares?
I don't remember, but
I think it's been a while.
Does he spin a top on a table and he just walks away?
Yeah, I was like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, the Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows Part 1, there were some good movies. Social Network, they're all there.
Yeah.
Jackass 3D, I did watch that.
Ooh, yeah. Who has?
That thing had more male genitalia than I was ready for.
Yeah, I was ready for it, and I still didn't expect as much.
There was more, yeah, more than that. I was ready for a lot. It just kept coming.
Wow.
There's another one? Jeez. Yeah, so that's all I did. I watched King's Speech this week, tried to play some Mass Effect. I built a little more in Enshrouded, a game that we've decided to jointly venture through.
Well, you build, I just wait and then reap the...
You help us play the game, and I just gather resources and build.
I'm like the Visigoths using the Roman, like, buildings.
All their resources. Yeah. Oh, cool, we have everything we need. Let's charge.
It's already set up. Look at all these aqueducts.
This place is awesome. Yeah, so not a lot going on. I'm happy to move on into the game unless you got something else you want to touch on.
Let's do it.
Mass Effect 2, here we come. How about that music? We'll discuss the music straight up.
Yeah. For me, I love it. It's this like synth opera. It fits the game perfectly. Mm-hmm. It's one of the few games, well, not few, but a lot of games I turn the music down. But this game, crank it up, baby.
Turn it up.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I had a note. The music was primarily composed by Jack Wall, who I'm unfamiliar with, but he worked on Jade Empire and Mass Effect 1.
Nice.
And they wanted to create a darker and more mature sound to match the game's mood for this one compared to the first one. They drew inspiration from Blade Runner soundtrack, the original, and the German electronic group Tangerine Dream, who I'm unfamiliar with, but maybe you know them.
I know the name. I don't know if I ever listened to them, though.
Hmm. Yeah, anything since... just hit me with that. I like the feeling of that. As long as, you know, as it matches the tone of the game.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be weird in like a Super Mario brother. It's a me. The composers gave themes to each character to convey their personalities and backgrounds, which I actually have never noticed in all my playthroughs of this game.
I mean, I guess that, yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, I guess I've never really picked that out.
Yeah, I kind of want to go back and play more and try and listen for that now. Anyway, that's the music, and I enjoy it. I do have some 2010 fun facts.
Hit me.
To remind you of 14 years ago, holy cow. That's the year that Prince William and Kate Middleton were wed. That's the year Michael Jackson died.
Rest in peace.
The King of Pop. That was a confusing moment in time for me because I think my sister had texted me, oh my gosh, Michael Jackson died. But my sister was also friends with some people, the Jacksons, and the husband's name was Michael. And she said, oh my gosh, Michael Jackson died. And I said, really? He's so young. She's like, yeah, can you believe it? He's really young. And I was like, wow, this is unbelievable. And then she said something else that, you know, made it obvious that it was the King of Pop, Michael Jackson. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, Michael Jackson died.
That's what a confusing period.
Yeah, it was a wild ride. And it didn't end up any better, you know? Either of those Michael Jacksons going is not a good time for me.
Yeah.
Not that I knew the younger one, but, you know, it's never good.
Well, at least.
Yeah, shout out my other Michael Jackson. The first iPad is released in 2010. Can you tell me who won the Super Bowl?
In 2010?
Super Bowl XLIV?
The Packers?
Nope. Oh, they probably were just on the other side of that, though.
This would have been the 2009 Super Bowl, right?
The Ravens? Yeah, 2009,
Raven? 2010. No. Oh, no. Oh, no. We may have stunned
no.
me.
Oh, no. Just as simple as a Super Bowl champion question.
Why do I think it's the... Okay, hold on.
Okay. When you hear it, you'll be like, oh, yeah, duh.
So it'll be the 2009 season, The Saints versus the Colts.
That is correct. The Saints beat the Colts.
Holy crap.
To become Super Bowl champions. Peyton Manning could suck it.
Sorry, that was my worst.
That's okay. You got it figured out. No clues given. Although, what if I hadn't said you were right and just let you keep talking? Would you have believed yourself?
Yeah, I get mixed up every year because I think about, like, I get my years mixed up because I'm pretty sure the Packers won the next year. It doesn't matter.
That's probably true. I can't tell you NBA champs after, like, the Jordan years. I'm done. Instagram was launched in 2010. Still going strong. Austerity is the word of the year.
Huh.
Austerity. I had to look it up. I couldn't really understand what it meant when I just read the word.
Who's picking the word of the year?
Yeah, I think it was the Webster's word of the year.
Ah, okay.
My brother-in-law, actually, who listens to the podcast, is a linguistics professor. And I think, I don't know if he gets a vote, but he's definitely like, he's a current on, you know, the word of the year candidates.
Nice.
The average home price was, this is painful, $138,000. What was the last game we did in like 2007? And it was like way more than that.
Yeah, we were looking at the prelude to the housing crisis in 2010. It was when all the smart people bought like 50 properties and retired.
Should have done that. Yeah. Yep. Gallon of gas, $2.84. That's the end of 2010 facts.
Nice.
It's a different time. I wouldn't say simpler. Still very complicated.
Yeah.
It's also the year that Shepard tried to really convince people that the Reapers needed to be stopped.
And yeah, never mind. He did some other stuff too. Or she.
They did some other stuff. Mass Effect 2 is an action RPG developed by BioWare for the Xbox 360 and the Microsoft platform in 2010 and PlayStation 3 in 2011. BioWare, of course.
PlayStation.
Exclusivity. I still don't like that, but you know, some other BioWare titles? You familiar with their reign of terror?
Mass Effect 1. Mass Effect 3.
Mm-hmm.
Jade Empire.
Yeah.
Dragon's Age. Dragon's Age.
The whole series.
The whole thing. Yeah, there's some.
Oh, there's some bigger ones. There's Baldur's Gate 1 and 2. I don't think they did 3.
No, they couldn't put their grubby little hands on that.
Oh, I bet they're so sad. And then Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Nice little BioWare. How could I forget one of my favorite games?
Ah, gee.
I also remember a game that you probably know. That I never played, but I remember you expressing excitement about it. Anthem. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I left that off the list. I saw it and I was like, nah. That was a real bomb, but I played it a lot. Because it's like, it can be a cooperative multiplayer, which I enjoy more than competitive multiplayer.
Yeah.
But it's real clunky and bad. But there were moments of brightness, but man... dropped the ball there. Thanks for bringing that up.
No problem.
That's $60 I'll never get back. They started development for Mass Effect 2 right after Mass Effect 1 was done because it was always planned as a trilogy.
Nice.
The company's main goal for 2 was making it less about being a game and more about being an experience.
That can be good or bad depending on like... who's developing it, which in this case it was BioWare before they fully got perverted by EA.
Yeah, there was more about the development. It was like developed by BioWare, published by Microsoft and EA and maybe one other company, and I was like, okay, this is where it starts to turn, but this game turned out okay in my opinion.
Yeah.
They did a lot of work to fine-tune the shooting in this one compared to the first one. Do you remember the shooting in the first one?
Yeah, it's for better and for worse. It depends on, there's some things I like, some things I don't like as much.
Well, they give you a big circle is your target. And if you crouch, it shrinks a little bit. If you fire in bursts, it stays small. But the circle is your range of spray that your bullets can take in the first one.
Yeah.
And this one, they're like, we'll just give you a crosshair.
Yeah.
They figured it out. Do what every other game does. They kind of fine-tuned a lot of the RPG stuff right out of the game.
Yeah. They definitely were like, this is more of an action game than it is an RPG.
Mm-hmm. They added more options to assign abilities to the user interface for real-time use. So like all of your charges, your electric bursts, your ammo disruptors, whatever, all that stuff could be mapped to just quick buttons, you know, so you're not pausing the action mid-fight.
I much preferred that. That was a great upgrade.
Yeah, over the, like, let me bring up a menu, time stops.
Yeah.
Let me see which enemy. I mean, I guess that's more RPG. And they really just tuned it right out. Although you can still do that in this one.
Yeah, it's more like you get the full circle of abilities when you do that.
Yeah, there might be some hidden away that you don't have mapped to a quick button you want to use. The planetary exploration of the original Mass Effect was revamped entirely. They said instead of having vast, barren landscapes, the designers opted to build distinct and interesting places. The goal was to encourage players to keep exploring the galaxy by changing their expectations about what they could find.
If only some other game company, maybe 14 years later, could have figured that piece out.
Which game company are we thinking about?
Maybe Bethesda?
Oh, yeah, maybe a little Starfield action.
Yeah.
Anyone who played Mass Effect 1 should have been able to tell an entire planet is too much to explore. Just give me the good parts.
I mean, it could be enough to explore if you could generate an entire, like, interesting, like, events and locations and ecosystem. But when you're just, it's just a barren wasteland, yawn.
Yeah. If the planet is full of good parts, great. That's what it should be. But then it would be a much smaller planet is all.
Yeah.
You can't have multiple giant planets all full of good stuff. So really they need to get rid of just the times where you're just driving for minutes at a time.
Yep.
Yikes. And they did, but they added something else worse, which we'll get to. The context-sensitive interrupt was added to help blend the dialogue better with the rest of the action. So you're a little, I play on a controller, so I got triggers to press. What do you press on a keyboard?
I play on a controller as well.
Oh, so we don't even know.
Yeah.
So your little Paragon or Renegade interrupts during conversations, they thought that would blend it more with the action. Did you feel it was blended better?
Yeah. I like to, hey, shut up. I'm a good guy, and I'm going to say something here. All right, everybody, you're all wrong.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. Like, I mean, I got up to Morden, Solus, and when he starts going on his little, like, just starts talking, sorting it out in his brain. You could just interrupt and be like, okay, relax, Morden. I'll tell you what's happening. You don't have to figure it out. I think there's maybe one Renegade interrupt the entire game that I will do. I normally play full Paragon.
Ooh, which one?
I can't remember, but it's something to do with, like, you have the option to shoot like a really stupid guy. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to shoot that guy.
Isn't there a Renegade option to, like, punch the annoying reporter or something?
There probably is.
Or is that Mass Effect 3, maybe?
That might be 3, because I don't think there's a reporter in 2. There's one in 1, and there's one in 3.
Okay, it's 3. Sorry. Continue.
You're fine. Mass Effect 2 contains voices from 90 different voice actors who play 546 characters.
Jeez.
And they speak over 25,000 lines of dialogue. So if you like listening to dialogue, I can't think of a better game.
It's got it in spades, I tells you.
It released on January 26th, and would you like to guess its January sales numbers? So that comprises 5 days.
In 5 days, 300,000.
500,000, not too far off.
It's pretty good numbers.
And then I found a total before the release of Mass Effect 3, which is 2012. So this is in 2 years, Mass Effect sold this much worldwide. Can you guess it?
Five. This is a tough
500,000 in 5 days.
Yeah.
I don't think it quite extrapolates, but.
I'm going to say 3 million.
7 million copies worldwide.
Wowzers.
In 2 years, everyone is buying this game.
Big numbers.
To be fair, it won a lot of Game of the Year awards. So. You know, it's getting trumped up. Everyone's loving it.
Yeah.
The Metacritic score, would you like to take a guess at that?
92.
94 on PC, 96 on Xbox.
Wow. Okay.
There might have been some little things on PC that made it a little less comfortable to play. I don't know. Sometimes that happens, right?
Yeah, there's definitely, you can, the reason I played it on controller is because so much of the context menus are obviously built for controller.
A joystick to point at options.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I got a good review, bad review. Good review from former magazine in the UK, Games TM. They said, despite all of the ways Mass Effect 2 is more engaging to play and explore, after 35 remarkable hours, it was the characters that stayed with us. Game of the year in January? Oh, go on then. I don't exactly know what that British phrase means, but I think it's good. Are they saying it's good?
I think that means, yeah, go on. You're the best. Okay. Go on with your bad self type thing, I think.
Okay. That's the equivalent of the British phrase. I also don't know what chuffed means. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Chuffed is good. Yeah.
Chuffed is good?
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. A bad review comes from Stardog on Metacritic.
I disagree. Oh, wait.
That's pretty much it. The first game is one of the best RPGs you will ever play, but the sequel is a massive step backwards with a lot of pointless changes for the worse. One pointless change is this is how he sounds, I'm sure. One pointless change is the firing of weapons. It's now a case of holding down shoot and spraying until you need to reload. Your weapon will never overheat and your accuracy never affected. They've listened to complaints about the inventory in Mass Effect 1, but instead of fixing it, they've removed it entirely. They have turned Mass Effect into a mindless action shooter like Gears of War. Steer clear.
I will not.
Stardog.
I hear what he's saying. And I don't disagree that some of the changes are more, what's the word? I want to say casualifying. Like,
yeah, I get what you mean. They've simplified it. They made it more a broad appeal.
But that doesn't make it bad just because it doesn't have, you know, an endless amount of guns to sort through.
Yeah. As I read that, I was thinking maybe this is the kind of person that likes to play Civilization. They really want a lot of stuff they got to know about.
Yeah.
Stardog, go play Civilization.
Yeah. I think you're getting called out from 100 games and a funeral.
Stardog. I also think it's odd to review a game and then directly compare it to the previous game. Like, shouldn't a review of a game just be about that game?
I guess I sort of agree. I mean, context in a trilogy like this does have some merit.
Okay. That's fair, but like, systems of a game, he's comparing to ME1, saying, I like this better, but it's like, this is its own game. They're not going to make the exact same game and just continue telling the story.
I think I see what you're saying.
Well, Stardog, you got that on your side. I'm staying away from you.
No, I agree. Like,
nope, you've agreed with Stardog. You're a bad reviewer.
All right. I take it back, Stardog. You and me, homies.
I get what he's saying, but I disagree. Anyway, that's all the fun facts and things I've got to share about this game. We can dive into the meat and potatoes, as it were.
Let's get in there.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that struck me the most when I started playing this game back in like 2010 was the graphics are such a nice upgrade.
From the first one.
From the first one. I think
I like that we've gone directly to comparing the first game now after I said that you can't
I'm
really
full Stardog.
You won him over, Stardog.
But no, I think this game looks pretty good for its era, especially.
Yeah, I was actually playing the Legendary Edition version, which is just cleaner. I think they've upped the resolution, so it looks fine on that.
I was playing the OG.
The original.
Yep.
And that looked okay?
Yeah, no, honestly, not terrible.
I wonder if I would have pulled out the old 360 and fired it up there, if it would have still been pretty good. Probably. I think so.
Probably.
Yeah. I did want to ask you, because I showed you the video that I'm going to share when we post about the game. And in that YouTube video, Commander Shepard looks way better than in the game.
Yeah, I think with a lot of those videos, they do some post-processing.
Yeah, it has to be, but why? Maybe that's what I would have hoped for in the Legendary Edition, whereas all they did was like make things 4K. I wish they would have made it look better.
You want, I mean, a hotter 4K's shepherd? Great, but
yeah, I want a hotter shepherd. I need him to be hotter.
Speaking of which, do you like customize your shepherd or do you leave him stock default? Or
I have always gone default shepherd.
I've played it both ways. My first ever run through from 1, 2, 3 was my own creation of shepherd.
I think when I first played Mass Effect 1, I might have made my own shepherd. That was like my attempt at myself. But after that one, everything has just been default shepherd.
This time I went.
How did you feel about making your own?
I like it. It's kind of cool. But then at the same time, it's everyone else. Like, that's just when you see Mass Effect reference, you see the default shepherd. So yours isn't as, it just doesn't, what's the word?
I know what you mean. I felt the same way. Because like, if anyone is talking about the game, that's the shepherd that we're all talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Like, that's shepherd.
Clarify it, but yeah, it's so it's cool, but it feels kind of odd. It yeah. reminds me of like the old Nintendo games where you could change the name of your character, mm-hmm. but ultimately, like, nah, character's just named this, it's not named whatever yeah. name you gave him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It maybe if you could have changed the name in this one, but it, you know, it's a certain voice, it's that actor, voice actor. That's the face you see in all the videos. So that's, to me, that's Shepard.
Yeah.
And also the female Shepard. She's Shepard as well. I tried to play the female Shepard this time, but to me, Shepard is just the dude. That's John Shepard.
Yep.
I'm sorry to all the female Shepherds out there.
It's fine. Play either Shepard.
Of course, play the female Shepard. Just to me, because I originally started with John Shepard, that's Shepard.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's the end of that story.
So now that we've decided we can't talk about Mass Effect.
No, it needs to be directly compared. Just in a review sense, I think.
No, I get you.
We're just talking about the game here.
In Mass Effect 1, I was always struck by the way that they explained how the weapons worked.
Mm-hmm.
Was that there's a hunk of metal inside the weapon. And it's shaved off and encircled in like a little force field, essentially, and then hurled at the enemies.
Those are your bullets.
Yeah, essentially the bullets. And it's a cool idea for a weapon. And it explains how they work, right? They overheat. You have
yeah.
to wait for
You don't have to reload, but you got to watch for that, yeah.
And then in Mass Effect 2, and this was probably just part of the DRPGification of it, which it still has mm-hmm. RPG elements, don't misunderstand.
Yeah.
But especially with the weapons, they kind of got rid of that and they added, and they explain it in the game. They're like, look, we figured out a new way. It's replaceable heat sinks, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You throw a heat sink in there and that's like your quote unquote ammo. You can shoot so many right. rounds with the heat sink. And I remember that bothered me when I first played Mass Effect 2. And the second thing about the weapons that bothered me were the lack of weapons comparatively to one, because one had a large array of weapons, and in two they really pared that down. And I think it was so they would reach a wider audience. People don't want to, they assumed, which is mm-hmm. we know not to really be true, but they assumed that people didn't want to fiddle around with items in the inventory, because Mass Effect 1 did have a clunky inventory. Instead it was of a bit. Fixing that, they just kind of cut that whole part to a degree.
Let's not fix it. Just get rid of it.
So that also bothered me a little the first time. But once you kind of see what they're going for, which is more of an action game, which I like action games, more of a accessible game. And also the story became even more prominent in this. There's so much happening. Like you said, 500 some voiced characters.
Yeah, yeah.
That all kind of falls to the background. You're like, let me just see what's happening in this story. Let me explore the galaxy. Let me go to all these different sites and locations and shoot things. It becomes less important. And there's like the upgrade system too, that you can upgrade your weapons and all that's pretty cool. And I think sometimes games pad out their total play time. with just mindless inventory
adjustments.
It's like, oh, let me compare. Oh, this one's got 2 points higher than this one. So this gun that I just spent a bunch of time upgrading and focusing on for the first, 3 hours of the game is literal trash now. Let me throw it away.
Going in the garbage.
So it's actually kind of nice. Especially, it almost adds a realism element in that if you were like a spacefaring soldier captain of a ship,
which I am,
obviously, you wouldn't just throw your weapon away every day. You have like a weapon that you like to use in like scenarios. You mean you'd be like, yeah, this one looks cooler. I'll take this one. So,
right.
And the more I played it, the more I liked it. And the change to the cooling system and the way the weapons worked, it does work within the context.
Yeah, they tried their best to have a reason for it. I can't remember feeling strongly one way or the other when given ammunition as opposed to like overheating system.
Yeah.
But they did change it. And I would honestly blame EA for the, I would say, if I had to guess, that they had a hand in any changes that went to simplifying things.
Yeah.
And because they need the game to sell.
It's probably just that sweet spot of where they were ruining video games.
Yeah.
Where they were like, well, can we ruin it a little bit? And I was like, all right, you can ruin it a little bit. And then they did it. And it just so happened that it was just a little bit that actually kind of helped.
Yeah.
Like the Bruce Lee cutting away the inessential type thing.
Sure.
But then later they'd be like, can we just completely ruin it? And Bioshock was like, no. And they're like, yeah, you're fired.
Yeah. Then they had a little too much power. Yeah, gameplay-wise, I enjoy all the upgrades to Mass Effect 2 over Mass Effect 1. The powers feel stronger, and then even up to Mass Effect 3, not that we're going to get into that much, but I like all the changes for gameplay-wise. And I do like how much the world building exists, and you don't have to like get into much of it if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But my nature when I play the game, if a little contextual pop-up things happen, like you can talk to this person, I'm like, oh, talking to that guy, talking to that lady.
Yeah.
I talk to everybody. And that's tons of games have done that, but that's a cool way to let you get into as much lore and the world as you want to.
Yeah. A spoiler alert. We've not done too much spoiling yet, but be aware if you're planning on playing this game, which is very story heavy, you're going to hear about all the different story aspects and beats of the game. So
top to bottom. So if you want to play it without knowing what happens, maybe you just pause it right now, go spend 40 hours playing the game and come back to the same episode.
Then you'll beat it
again. The Game Boy giveaway.
You need to play it Renegade and Paragon. So actually 80 hours.
Yeah. I actually have never completed a Renegade playthrough.
I would always play the good guy, and I tell my brother, you can play it, but you got to play the bad guy because I want to see what happens.
Because your brother's younger than you.
Yeah.
So you could bully him into, you can play it, but you got to be the total jerk. I did try that. I was like, well, let me just play completely different than I've ever played. So I played as Jane Shepherd and tried to go Renegade, and it feels incorrect to me to go Renegade.
Like,
the Shepherd is like, he wants what's best for the world,
yeah,
and to help people. And so when he's just like, get out of my freaking way, you don't know what you're talking about. It's crazy to me.
It is. It's probably the weakest point in the story is the fact that the Renegade options just don't make sense.
Yeah, he's kind of just a bully.
Like they say Renegade, so you would think that like the Paragon would be like, I'll do whatever the government tells me. And then the Renegade would be like, I'll do it, but I'm going to do it, kind of how I want. But instead the Renegade is just like, you know what? How about you suck it?
He's like a jerk for no reason.
Hi, Commander Shepard. Yeah, suck it.
Screw you. What the heck? This is my least favorite shop on the Citadel. I hate this shop. So the story, this is probably one of the few games where I halfway followed the story as I played through it, which was nice.
It's a good story.
I don't always follow the story as I'm playing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Reapers as a big bad are pretty scary. Mm-hmm. And the noise that they make when they're attacking things.
Yeah. Very cool sound.
Pretty good. And then they introduce the new old enemy.
Good Reaper, by the way.
Thank you. I've played it so much.
Yeah. It's that low. Yeah.
The collectors come into play, and it turns out they're actually the once thought to be dead alien race.
Yeah.
That goes by the name of something that's not popping into my head right now.
Protheans?
Protheans, yeah.
It's hard to keep it all straight.
They've been like turned by the Reapers into...
Yeah.
Because initially in the first game, you're referenced as like the Reapers are coming by these old Prothean writings.
Yeah.
It's a cool... And as a game, the real highlight of the whole thing is the... relationships that you build with the crew, the backstories that you get on all of them, you know, the relationships you get with the crew.
Yeah. That's definitely the strong point. And I thought it was a cool way to have you play through the game, like recruit your crew, you know, go get these people. And then now that you've got them, they all have their own little side quest of how you can improve your bond with them. And, it's all pretty believable as far as video games go and stories in video games.
And also that all that really ties into the way the game turns out too, because, you know, depending on your bonds with them all the way through the third game, but depending on your bonds, who survives, who doesn't, who's there to help you. And it's not that hard. Like, it's not super confusing to make sure that everyone's homies with you, right? You just got to do their backstory, not annoy them. And then things turn out well, but in the chance that you miss that, you just get to see like a character you like just blasted away or whatever.
Just destroyed. Do you have a favorite companion?
Miranda, or sometimes Garrus as a laugh.
Now
I'm talking about companions, if you know what I mean. Now
you're talking about one in which you have relations in the game.
My sweet, sweet love.
Okay. Okay.
We can't talk about Mass Effect without
it's unavoidable.
Sweet, sweet loving.
Yeah. I mean, do you have to do it? You don't have to do it.
I mean, depends on what you mean by have to.
Well, I think you could dialogue options wise. Yeah. Yeah. Do I want to know what happens? Yeah.
Especially like 14. I was like, I'm pretty compelled.
I feel very compelled.
For taking out, still in too, I liked Miranda and Garrus because they have, I think Overload is one of Garrus's abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like level up your relationship with Miranda, she gets Slam. So you have like two really powerful, biotics to break shields. I would use them quite a bit.
Yeah. Combat wise, that's a good combo.
And then I also like to use, you said his name earlier, the science guy.
Morden.
He's got some really cool abilities as well. But a big thing into is breaking shields, especially on the higher difficulty levels, as well as like disabling. When you get into a fight, you want to like diminish the amount of people you have to actively fight at the same time. So whatever you can do, like take people out of the fight for a second and fight the other ones, it's super helpful. So that was always my thought. When I pick companions, obviously there's people I kind of want to take more, like Grunt. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool to have him with me.
I would bring Grunt all the time,
but like the biotic abilities are good. I guess I would always play like the soldier character and not so much spec into biotics. So,
bring the biotics as support.
Yeah. I bet if you play biotics, then it'd be cool to have Grunt to be like that frontline kind of tanky.
I think that's what I was doing. Yeah. I just like him as a character. So I'm like, come along, Grunt. Okay,
he's so mad all the time.
Yeah. Do you have a least favorite companion?
This one is
the same one for sure.
You think so?
1, 2, 3, Jacob.
Nah.
Dang it.
Jacob just falls into the background for me.
Yeah, Jacob is so boring.
He's just a non-character. I didn't think about it. I guess I do not like Jake. I don't know. Jack always annoys me because she's just like, I'm mad about everything.
Yeah, that is kind of an annoying character. I guess I care the least about Jacob. I can still find a way to care about Jack, but Jacob is, because there was something in a playthrough I did where I'm like, let's see what Jack's story's about. And then there's like, there's a little more to her, but Jacob's just like, I'm boring.
Yeah, I like how I remember the first time I played it. Jacob's like the first guy you run into, really.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, look, a little guy to help me. And then there's like, he's coming along with you. I was like, is he?
Oh, he's a main guy? All I gotta help him now? Okay. Yeah, very bland character.
The reason I said people are gonna be mad is because people love Jack. I didn't hate Jack, but I think a lot of people are like, Jack is bae or whatever. But for me, I think so. For me, I'm just like, give me a perfect cyborg creature. I can't handle all the
one that was designed to be perfectly physically fit.
I can't handle all this dang drama.
Yeah, Jack is a bit like maybe like an enraged teenager, which I don't know how old she's meant to be in the game, but probably older than a teenager with the things that go down in that bedroom.
We're open.
I hope so. Fingers crossed. Please, BioWare.
Everyone that played Mass Effect is going to jail.
Yeah, solid companions. I think I would bring Grunt and Miranda usually, and I made no effort into like what abilities will work together. I was just like, I like these two. These are cool. I'm going to bring them.
That was definitely always my first move until I started playing the harder difficulties, and you kind of have to.
That's what I never did, was play the harder difficulties. I just want to play the game, okay? So, I mean, how much do you want to explain the story? We've touched on a lot of stuff.
I mean,
do you like how it ended? The fact that it's kind of just, anyway, spoiler alert, it's like a cliffhanger, because it was meant to be a trilogy.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. It works. It closes off. It's not just like leaves you completely hanging. Because it's like, look, we're going to see.
You've done a crazy mission.
We're going to do it. Yeah. And then the Cerberus dude is like.
Martin Sheen.
Yeah, Martin Sheen. He's like, all right, good luck with that type thing. Yeah, I think it's a good ending.
Yeah, I like it. So you do your entire suicide mission, which is like the big mission of the game. And that's where all of your loyalties with your crew come in. I don't remember the first time I played through it, but there's no way I picked all the right people for the right jobs. I must have lost somebody. But every subsequent playthrough, I've made sure to Google who needs to do what, because I didn't want to lose anybody.
Yeah, same thing. Same exact thing. Yeah. No, why is the what? Stop.
No. Yeah, so I would definitely just play that the way it's supposed to, keep everyone alive. And then the way it ends is like, yeah, you did it. But then it kind of zooms out and then you've got the actual Reapers coming in. You're like, oh, no. And then it was only 2 years before the next game, which seems like an appropriate amount of time.
Yes, that's an acceptable amount of time to make someone wait.
Yeah, for another game in the series. 2 years. You hear that? Big studios, 2 years.
They can't do it. They physically can't do it anymore.
It's impossible. We'll kind of maybe just touch on some other things quickly. I know we're running long, but this is a great game.
It's a great game.
Voice acting thoughts?
Really good. I mean, some big name hitters.
I was surprised, actually. I went through and looked at some of their credits and I was like, oh, I didn't even know. They've been in all these other big games.
Yeah.
Shows, cartoons.
Tremendous. And
yeah.
Huge cast.
Yeah. Any comparisons to other games? Not really. Well, I guess it is action RPG-ish. I'm not a big Gears guy. Do you play Gears of War?
Yeah, but that's where our boy was a little mistaken. Other than it just being cover-based combat, which, don't get me wrong, after Gears, a lot of games, even though they adopted
like, that. Oh, that works. Yeah.
But that's really where the comparisons end for me, is in the combat. Yeah.
Starfield.
How dare you. I'm not gonna lie, so yeah, let's go with Starfield, because as I was playing this and as I was thinking back to it, I was like, dang it, even even with, and you hit on this a little bit in the intro, even with like the mining, which is honestly the worst part of the game.
Yeah, we were going to mention that. We weren't going to end without talking about the mining of planets.
So I'll let that sit for a second. Even with the mining, there's just so much, there's a sense of scale to this game and a sense of like what you're doing matters. And there's, although there's not 100 cities to go and explore and a trillion planets, every city you go to is unique. It's realized. It's very cool. They also do a good job of putting you like in these smaller areas of the city, like the Citadel, for example. But then you can look and just see like the city underneath you, and it feels like there's millions of people in, you know, living their lives, and it all has this grand sense of scope, and it's so engaging. And that's where Starfield absolutely tanked it.
Yeah, I would agree. I was going to say the same thing. Like, show me how big everything is, but just give me the part to play that matters.
Yeah. And they do a good job. It's all very tight. And there's so much stuff to do. Mm-hmm. There really is a lot of stuff to do. But also, I never feel, except for the one thing, I never feel like it's not tedious. So I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. What's my next thing to do? What's my next thing
to do? What other mission can I do? Yeah, I agree. Except for that dang planet mining, where you're just, for anyone who doesn't know, you're moving a reticle around a planet, a sphere. It's all on one screen, and you move it around. And when you get like a buzz on the controller, then you shoot like a mining probe, and that's it.
Yep. And you keep mining around the planet. If I'm not mistaken, you keep doing it until you're like 100%. And then if you're crazy like me, probably most of the times I've played the game, you have some weird thing where if you're going to complete an RPG, you complete it.
You're going to get 100%
every freaking planet. And it's an extra like 10 to 15 hours on top of the game.
It's the worst. I'm sure there's a PC mod to just give you the resources so you don't have to do that.
There's got to be. I don't know if I've ever tried to mod this game, interestingly enough.
I have not, but I'm sure it's fun that way.
Yeah.
That's the only part where it drags. But other than that, great game. Final thoughts?
No, it's a good game. I watched a little speed running just like a second before we started, and it like highlighted to me how, you know, obviously people drag it because it's not, there's actually not choice and it all ends up the same way. Okay, cool, whatever.
Kind of,
but it's really neat how the game gives you the options of like, you're starting the game. Do you want to go get a whole crew? Do you want to work on your relationships, or you just want to go and try to do the final thing? Because it can be beaten in like an hour. And I'm sure there's some skips and stuff involved. But the Mass Effect relay, what's it called? The Omega one?
The Omega 4 relay, yeah.
Yeah, which is like the pinnacle of the game, the final mission. Right. Just you could go there really quickly. And that's a cool aspect.
Yeah, the fact that you can do that.
You know, within the confines of what it is, which is a game. And, you know, it's not an infinite reality. Right. It's still cool that you do have that kind of freedom. So this game rocks. I'll probably play it a couple more times before I die.
That's sad to think about, but honestly true. I may complete this game two more times before I'm dead.
I was thinking the same thing. That's right. Listen,
when we're in like, when we're in a retirement home and they just have Xbox 360s everywhere.
Ooh.
Yeah, then I might play through a few more times.
It's going to be so good.
But it's a solid game. I always revisit this like every few years, and then I'll see my save file. Oh, 2 years ago. Yeah, it's time.
It's good. It's good. Yeah, there's nothing else to really talk about. If you've not played it, hop on.
Yeah. This one can't be skipped. Skip Civilization. Don't skip this one.
Yeah, just give it a try. You might not like it, but you got to give it a try because it's one of those benchmarks in games that it just melds like movie-esque storytelling and a living, breathing world into one really fun experience.
Great wrap-up. Although I did wonder, like, what if Naughty Dog had made Mass Effect?
Obviously. But that's the question you could ask for literally everything. What if Naughty Dog made it?
That's true. But this, I mean, a very story-driven game had it been, interesting to think about. Anyway, next week, we have a game called Paradroid. I'm unfamiliar with it. Curious to see what it's about.
No clue what that is.
So go play Mass Effect 2. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends about the giveaway. We love you and appreciate you.